This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump now threatening to put a 25% tariff on Apple products unless, he writes on social media, iPhones are manufactured in the United States. The threat could dramatically increase the price of iPhones, potentially hurting the profits of one of the country's most successful technology companies. President Trump also threatening the European Union with 50% tariffs beginning on June 1st because, he writes, trade talks are stuck, stock futures plummeting on all that. A fifth round of nuclear negotiations underway between the U.S. and Iran, the talks happening in Rome. Memorial Day travel underway. 40 million people could be on American roads this weekend.
According to the experts over at INRIX, the time to drive is before 11 a.m. 12 to 8 p.m. today expected to be the worst times on the road in terms of traffic.
ABC's Matt Rivers. Memorial service held last night for the young couple shot and killed outside the Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Grant County Sheriff's Department reported a fatal UTV crash occurred Wednesday evening. The crash happened at approximately 5:20 on private property just off of Oak Road north of Dickeyville in the town of Paris. When officers arrived on scene, they learned Mario Cardenas, 27, of St. Landry, Louisiana, was driving the UTV down a hill when he lost control on the muddy hillside. The UTV rolled onto its side, pinning Cardenas underneath of it. Cardenas was the lone occupant on the UTV. Cardenas was located approximately 2 hours after he left on the UTV and was unresponsive and showed no signs of life. A package of bills has been introduced in the Wisconsin State Legislature aimed at protecting pollinators across the state. Among the introduced legislation is a proposal to designate June as Pollinator Awareness Month in the state. One would require state agencies and government entities to give preference to native plants. Another would add more regulations for pesticides and insecticides. And one would establish a Protect Pollinators license plate program. The rusty-patched bumblebee would also be named as the state native insect. State lawmakers are proposing new legislation that would levy significant fines for the owners of abandoned boats on Wisconsin shorelines. The proposal comes days after a cabin cruiser named Deep Thought was pulled from the Milwaukee shoreline and a yacht named Sweet Destiny was towed from the St. Croix River. The proposed legislation would give owners 30 days to collect their boat after law enforcement authorities deem it abandoned. If the boat isn't removed, the owners could face a $10,000 fine and up to 9 months in jail. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Pirates 8-5. After a nearly two-hour rain delay during the sixth, the Brewers started Aaron Civale, then right-hander Carlos Rodriguez came in and managed to continue pitching after the long delay, Pat Murphy.
You know, it feels like Civale pitched yesterday, but to be able to pitch after that delay, to delay almost 2 hours and have the mental capacity in his first outing of the year in the big leagues, get his first major league win, he deserves it.
NFL, the Packers' annual charity softball game is tonight in Grand Chute, Wisconsin.
I know the fans are a big part of this game. They show out every year and pack that stadium out. So hopefully we can get as many fans as possible out there. It's going to be another awesome event, another awesome year. I know the players are excited to, you know, show off their softball skills. We've been working and training very hard. Come out, bring the family. It'll be an awesome event to be able to watch the Packer players play a different sport.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a really nice Memorial Day weekend on the way with plenty of sunshine, mid-60s Saturday, upper 60s on Sunday and Memorial Day. Maybe a few sprinkles later Memorial Day, but overall, really nice. Today, sunshine, with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 43.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow, also Peter Rapine from EFOB's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Everybody travel safe. Take a moment to remember the real reason behind the weekend. Enjoy your family and friends. Eat too many brats. And tune in this afternoon to the Todd Alba Show. Live from my back deck here on Lake Wissota. What could possibly go wrong? Going to be a good time from 2 to 4 today. A lot coming up here. We're going to continue our series of interviews with the three candidates for state Democratic Party chair. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, Joe Zepecki yesterday, William Garcia on in our next half hour to get one more round of conversations with them to ask why Democratic Party members in county parties all across the state, when they gather in Wisconsin Dells next month, should pick them to succeed Ben Wickler, who's stepping down as a state Democratic Party chair. And, of course, it's Friday, so we've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here, too. So we'll talk about things in the news health-wise and a couple of important health notes, especially dealing with pregnancy. So we have the official OBGYN of the show here to talk to us all about that. First, the official meteorologist for the show is here to talk about the sunshine. And Kristen, you said the nicest thing about Brittany when you first woke up this morning.
It was just the truth. I woke up and I looked out the window and there was beautiful, bright sunshine coming in. And the first thing I thought was Brittany Merlot.
How great is that? It's like these two little rays of sunshine here.
Well, she also gets it when it's raining, too. So, I mean, it's both sides.
So you got it. Yeah, you got it. You got to give it to her that way. And again, we're all acknowledging it certainly could be warmer. But if it's going to be, you know, cool and sunny versus normal temperatures and rainy, I think we know where most of us are going to come down on that, Brittany.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, we can deal with the frost advisories far up north, probably still again tonight and then Saturday night before those stop. And I think our temperatures are going to warm up enough to where frost is no longer a concern. So, yeah, paddling a crisp morning for a ton of sunshine, I'll take the trade. We do have warmer temperatures on tap by next weekend. But for this weekend, we're just going to sit here nice and comfortable, bright and beautiful, calm winds, and no rain in the forecast until Tuesday. Maybe places far northwest could see some rain trying to move in late Monday night. But otherwise, we're looking at sunshine on repeat, temperatures slowly getting more mild. We'll be in those mid-50s far east by Lake Michigan and far north today to about the low 60s far west. And then tomorrow, we're going to put that on repeat. Then by Sunday, Monday, we're looking at mid to upper 60s, a few 70s across the state. And we're going to hold that into next week. And like I said, getting even warmer after that. But I'll take the dry conditions, comfortable conditions, and a good long weekend. I'm excited.
I like that. Nice, comfortable, breezy, and beautiful sunshine on repeat.
Yes.
Let's just put that forecast on repeat. That would work out really well. Yeah.
So you mentioned 10 degrees.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Add that. That would be a good part. You mentioned that you're going to have a family that you're hosting this weekend. Are you going to be doing some grilling for that?
Oh, yes. We're definitely going to be grilling. We're going to be having a campfire, too. That fire danger is finally low across the state, so you can do that without worry. So we're going to cook some meals on the fire. Oh, we love doing that kind of stuff. What else? Probably doing some kayaking. Swimming. A little too cold for that.
Yeah, well.
But, of course, you know, exploring the great outdoors. What about you guys?
Having just come off vacation, we're going to take it really easy. We're still kind of catching up on the jet lag, you know, going to bed a little earlier than we normally would, trying to get that body clock back on track here. So a lot around the house, because there's been so much to jump into back here. I haven't really fully unpacked yet. There's still a suitcase.
Seriously?
And well, we did the laundry, but then there's so much laundry to put away. You don't even want to know what the closet looks like right now. So, but there's going to be some grilling. There's going to be a little fire pit going, and the pontoon's in. So maybe we'll just put on a hoodie and go for a little jaunt that way. Kristen, how about you? Are you going to be doing big plans or relaxing things?
Well, after that, I think I'm going to come to Lake Wasota and bring a pack of brats. And when should I be there?
Well, Todd's show starts at 2:00. So as soon as you can get in the car, the better. You know?
All right. I got to go.
Okay, good. No.
Kristen, pick me up. Let's go.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm liking it. The more the merrier. And Parker, you said you are calling a baseball game.
Yeah, calling Super Regionals at UW-Whitewater tomorrow. And then I think possibly doing some of my aunt and uncle's on Memorial Day. Yeah.
Super Regionals? What is that?
Super Regionals, yeah. They changed the format a couple of years ago. So now Super Regional, if you win that, you go to the Final 8, which is the College World Series.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Gotcha.
They're getting close.
This is a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they're like number 3 in the country, so we're hopeful. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see. Robin Tigerton coming down. I forgot to mention I have a new job for the Village of Tigerton, watering plants along Main Street. So that's great. And he wants to second the notion that Kristen and Brittany are sunshine even on the dark and dreary days. Thank you, Rob, for that. Always appreciate the comments. And Brittany, you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Take it easy. Hey, you can always get our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. We have our daily newsletter. We have our new Sunday morning newsletter that I write with a look at the week in Wisconsin politics. And there's a sports newsletter that Christina Laurier is putting together once a month. And I was looking at her social media posts this week, and they include a note about another hike in ticket prices if you want to see UW women's volleyball. But well, yeah, that's costing more money. It is also a reflection of the success of the program and also the whole name, image, licensing thing where college athletes are, you know, getting paid now. So a general admission season ticket that cost $60 back in 2021 and $150 last year will now be $225 in the new season. So, again, another chunk of change, but to see a team that is one of the very best in the country. So, for more sports stories like that from Christina Laurier, sign up for that newsletter as well over at upnorthnewswi.com. Kristen, I want to talk to you in a bit about, you know, RFK Jr. and the terrible impact on American health that it portends. But there were two notes on the calendar, kind of these National Awareness Days, and I thought it was a good opportunity to talk about pregnancy and women's health. And so we're going to cover both of them. I think it was Wednesday was World Preeclampsia Day, which deals with high blood pressure. And then today happens to be International Day to End Obstetric Fistula. And that one says here, it's an international day to spread awareness about a childbirth-related injury that affects women primarily in poor economic regions. Medically, it's described as a hole in the birth canal that occurs due to prolonged labor without medical intervention and other factors during childbirth. The United Nations Population Fund says obstetric fistula is one of the most severe and tragic injuries that can occur during childbirth. I was not as aware of that as I was preeclampsia. And again, it's not to scare people, but I feel like we always have to remind people pregnancy is not the easiest thing for people, and it does not always have the Norman Rockwell kind of outcome.
No, I think we tend to have this very sunny idea of what pregnancy is. It's joyful. There's a baby involved. And in many cases, that is true. But there are lots of things that can go wrong. Preeclampsia is actually fairly common in the United States. It's always associated, almost always associated with a blood pressure issue. It's a blood vessel issue. So it can present in lots of different ways. There can be vision changes. It can be a terrible headache. It can be a liver problem or problems with your kidneys. But regardless, we tend to see this toward the end of pregnancy. And the cure is to deliver the baby. Because once the baby is out, people tend to get better. Having said that, though, people can develop preeclampsia after the baby is out because of pregnancy-related and hormonal changes. So this is one of the reasons why we need care for our moms in the postpartum period. Women can die of preeclampsia, of high blood pressure issues in the postpartum period. This is complex. It is probably the most studied condition associated with pregnancy, and we haven't figured it out yet. I don't think there's one thing that causes it, but this is the reason why towards the end of your pregnancy, we have you come back so often to check your blood pressure, and we're so careful about asking about headaches and weird symptoms, because it is fairly common, especially in this country.
Yeah. So between that and the obstetric fistula, it again, just I can't underscore enough being married to an OBGYN as well. Don't skip those appointments. I mean, now for Sherry, she'll say, well, when they have a no-show, I've got extra time to dictate my charts. I mean, there's that. But you'd much rather have that person in and continue to be monitored and to get prenatal care at all. There's still a troubling number of people who come in and say, yeah, I've been pregnant for the past, 38 weeks. I couldn't afford to come in or whatever until now. It still happens.
Right. I couldn't get that. People have so many barriers to care, which is why we need to reduce the number of barriers. And actually, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists is changing the way that we deliver prenatal care right now. And for a very long time, it's been come in every month until you get to the middle of your pregnancy. And then it's every 2 weeks. And then it's every week after that. Well, now we're starting to look at things like telehealth. And what is your general health? What are your risk factors? How often do you actually need to come in? Can we send you home with a blood pressure cuff so you can check your blood pressure at home? So we've really reimagined how we deliver prenatal care so that it works for our patients and removes barriers, especially in a time when people are really struggling to get access to health care in places like rural areas.
And again, it underscores the notion of why you need that Medicaid expansion for increased coverage for women postpartum instead of 60 days to 1 year. And 48 states have done it, just us in Arkansas. And in both cases, you've got Republicans in those states that are blocking it. Not all Republicans. In Wisconsin's case, it's one Republican. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is stopping that measure from coming up for a vote, which would pass overwhelmingly if it did. And we say that again because you really can't pester your legislator enough nicely to say, get this bill passed, get the speaker to put it up for a vote.
Yeah. And to be honest, in Arkansas, they at least did some things. They didn't pass postpartum extension, but they did some things to make it easier for moms to get care. And in Wisconsin, we've done nothing. In fact, we're making it harder for them to get birth control. We're making it harder for them to get abortion care. We're making it harder for women to get postpartum care. And let's talk about child care. We're making it impossible for people to get child care. At no point in the spectrum of getting pregnant, having a baby, or taking care of your children are Republicans making it easy for us.
No. And that, again, it's incredible to think that that caucus, which has women in it and all the women that they represent, that they still stand in the way of women's health in this way. But that is exactly what they're doing. So that's why we continue talking about expanding Medicaid coverage, that it isn't just some kind of welfare handout, that this is good public policy that, again, is happening everywhere else but here. So, Kristen, thank you for telling us more about that. I want to tell folks before we get to the break that you can win Milwaukee Brewers tickets. It's Friday. We're going to be doing this most Fridays throughout the season. Text a keyword. Each Friday we'll give you one that you text in using the Civic Media app. And then one entry is drawn statewide to win four tickets to a specific game. In this case, it's next Tuesday's game against the Boston Red Sox. Four tickets to next Tuesday's game if you text the word radio. using the Civic Media app, radio, R-A-D-I-O. If you do that, you will be in the running for potentially winning four tickets to next Tuesday's game. The Brewers were winners 8-5 in Pittsburgh last night, and they will do it again this evening. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. Then they'll play Pittsburgh again Saturday and Sunday. Still ahead this hour, William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Mental health is healthcare. Self-care isn't selfish, and asking for help is a brave and powerful step. Mental health affects every one of us, regardless of age, race, or background. And yet stigma holds many people back from getting the support needed.
I grew up being called a worry wart, which I've now learned is anxiety.
Kira Sabin gets it. The Madison-based positive psychology coach says many times you just have to let it go.
A lot of the times the energy that we spend trying to control our environments is wasted because we're trying to control things we can't. We can't control the way other people react to us. And trying to just drives us crazy.
This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's break the silence, build understanding, and create a world where mental wellness is a priority for everyone. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
At the Capitol, a Republican bill to increase penalties for rioting in Wisconsin is paused for now. The legislation received significant opposition earlier this month in the State Assembly's Judiciary Committee and was not given a committee vote on Wednesday. Democrats Ryan Clancy of Milwaukee and Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie were pleased, calling the bill legal overreach that could be used against legitimate protests. The bill's author, Two Rivers Republican Shay Sortwell, accused them of falsely claiming the bill was pulled from Wednesday's agenda when a vote hadn't officially been scheduled. Committee Chair Representative Ron Tussler told WisPolitics in a statement that the bill, in its current form, has constitutional common sense and enforcement issues and will not receive a vote until those are addressed. Tuesday was a day of action for gun violence prevention at the Capitol in Madison. Gun safety advocates and Democratic lawmakers pushed for legislative solutions to gun violence in Wisconsin. Republican lawmakers stripped firearms provisions out of Governor Tony Evers' proposed state budget, but are offering a bill this session to exempt gun safes and gun locks from state sales tax. A Wisconsin politician is proposing the state reduce its number of elections. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden is calling for the state to get rid of spring elections. Van Orden said on Wisconsin Eye that spring elections, which are held for officially nonpartisan races, should be done each fall instead. Van Orden cited voter fatigue, financial efficiency, and never-ending political campaigns to support his idea. The state's constitution requires spring elections for nonpartisan offices, specifically mentioning judicial elections, which are to be held outside of partisan elections. Van Orden said that Republicans don't vote as often in spring elections. Viroqua's hospital is undergoing a name change and rebranding. Vernon Health will be the new name of the hospital, replacing the old moniker, Vernon Memorial Healthcare. Vernon Health said its new branding symbolizes unity, care, diversity, and warmth. The hospital, which began operations in 1951, will hold a family fun night on September 3rd in Viroqua to celebrate the name change. The new name and logo is the result of a two-year collaborative process between the hospital and community. A Western Wisconsin manufacturer is planning on laying off dozens of workers. Truvant, a packaging and labeling service, is closing its Prairie du Chien North facility. 74 workers will be affected, according to the Department of Workforce Development. In a letter to the state, as well as city officials, Truvant cited changing business circumstances for the closure. 44 workers are having their jobs eliminated, while the remaining 30 are transferring to other facilities in the area. The closure is scheduled for July 15th. It's National Mailbox Improvement Week. This week, the U.S. Postal Service is encouraging customers to inspect, maintain, and upgrade their mailboxes to help ensure safe, secure, and efficient mail delivery. Each year, USPS designates the third week of May as Mailbox Improvement Week to encourage customers with box-on-post delivery to examine and, where necessary, improve the appearance of their mailboxes. Through regular mailbox maintenance, efficient mail delivery, enhanced neighborhood curb appeal, and improved postal service operations are better insured. The Postal Service annually calls attention to Mailbox Awareness Week because of the wear and tear that occurs to mailboxes throughout the year. Some of the typical activities homeowners may need to do include replacing loose hinges on a mailbox door, repainting a mailbox that may have rusted or has started to peel, remounting a loosened mailbox post, replacing or adding house numbers, and keeping security top of mind. Tips to secure your mailbox include promptly pick up your mail, try not to leave letters and packages in your mailbox or at your door for any length of time, and report mailbox vandalism. If you see someone actively tampering with a mailbox, immediately report it to the police. If you know of someone who committed an act of mailbox vandalism, report it to a postal inspector at 1-877-876-2455. Registration is open for the High Grounds 2 Female Veterans Retreats coming up in June. Veterans are welcome to join one or both retreats free of charge. Transportation to and from the retreat weekend is the responsibility of the veteran. Due to limited space, registration is required. The Courage to Heal Female Veterans Retreat is a PTSD-MST-focused retreat that will be held June 13th through 15th. With the veterans' registration, lodging arrangements will be made by the High Ground at a motel adjacent to the High Ground. The retreat will consist of workshops and activities for female veterans that have been proven helpful in the management of post-traumatic stress and military sexual trauma recovery. Veterans can also enjoy the beauty of the natural surroundings and the camaraderie of other female veterans. The activities will combine nature-based physical activities, creative arts, mindfulness, and PTS management workshops led by Vietnam veteran nurse and PTS MST advocate Sarah Bloom. The Outdoor Adventures Female Veterans Retreat planned for June 20th through 22nd has been organized for the female veterans who enjoy the physical demands of hiking, nights under the stars, and other outdoor activities. Spending time in nature is one of the most effective and achievable ways to help heal and manage PTS and to reach goals of better mental health. Attendees and guides will be hiking the rolling terrain of area trails, camping under the stars at the High Ground, and participating in other outdoor activities such as kayaking. Female veterans will have the opportunity to learn or hone their outdoor skills, as well as techniques for PTS MST management, boosting their confidence to continue the activities after the retreat. All the basic equipment necessary for this adventurous weekend is provided with the veterans registration. Registration for these retreats is required by May 30th. To register for one or both retreats and for more information, veterans are invited to email Teresa at museum@thehighground.org or call 715-743-4224. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. At the Capitol, legislation requiring child sexual abuse prevention programming in Wisconsin K-12 schools advances. The bill was approved Wednesday by the Assembly Committee on Children and Families, where Appleton Democrat Lee Snodgrass noted it would not apply to private schools. She said it should include all children in the state of Wisconsin. Oconomowoc Republican Barb Dietrich didn't disagree, while citing the recent case of a school bus driver accused of sexually assaulting a six-year-old girl on his bus. Dietrich said it's critical to teach kids safety at an appropriate age and called the bill the start of something very positive. The bill requires school boards to provide at least one instructional session to pupils in 4K through grade 12, specifies what the program must cover, and requires that parents be notified and given the option to exempt their students. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson claims the Biden administration downplayed COVID vaccine links to inflammation of the heart muscle. Johnson, chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, held a hearing Wednesday afternoon to go along with his 2,400-page report. In the hearing, he claimed numerous documents requested by citizens and reporters through the Freedom of Information Act held heavy redactions, which were applied by the Biden administration. He claimed that the administration failed to immediately warn the public about myocarditis and other serious adverse events linked to the COVID-19 injections. Ranking member Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat representing Connecticut, disagreed with the idea that the vaccines were dangerous, noting that they have been credited with saving millions of lives. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a really nice Memorial Day weekend on the way with plenty of sunshine, mid-60s Saturday, upper 60s on Sunday and Memorial Day. Maybe a few sprinkles later Memorial Day, but overall really nice. Today, sunshine with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future.
Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back on this Friday morning, May 23rd, 2025. This is Up North. This is what was once called Up North News Radio. See, this is what Jane Mattenair does, is all this time that I have been saying that the thing that used to be called Twitter, I now need to call this the thing that used to be called Up North News Radio. We are hoping to hear from William Garcia, candidate for state party chair, in just a sec. I had to email him the correct link. We changed links when we moved to a three-hour radio show here. Otherwise, like all of our other guests, they'll sometimes give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we talk to guests over the phone that way as well sometimes when that's what has to happen. But that's okay, because it gives me a moment to tell you that you can text the keyword radio to us using the Civic Media app. We have stations and shows all across the state that on Fridays during the Brewers season are going to be giving away four packs of Brewers tickets to specific upcoming games. And so you have to listen to this show, to Matt and Air on Air, to Tom Hartman, to Todd Alba, to Maggie Dawn, the usual suspects. And if you do that, then you can get that keyword, which today is radio, text it to us through the Civic Media app. We pick one randomly, and it's four tickets, in this case, to next Tuesday evening's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us. All right, with that business out of the way, let's talk and check in now with William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair, who joins us from, I'm sure, beautiful La Crosse County, I'm guessing, William?
Absolutely.
Hey, good morning.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you for being here. Always appreciate it. How goes the run? Again, three candidates in the race. This is our second time through talking to all the candidates. We've come through the congressional district Democratic Party conventions, all the county party meetings you've had to go to. What's your view of how things are going so far?
Well, I think things are going great. I've had an amazing time going to all of the county, going to all the CD conventions, talking to people about what I want to do with the party, where I think the party needs to go. And I'm hearing a lot of support. In fact, I'm actually really proud that both of the other candidates have kind of altered their platform somewhat to be a little more aligned with mine. Because of what I've been saying and how much it's how people are responding to it in terms of the need to strengthen and grow county parties. That's now a part of kind of everyone's pitch. And I'm really happy for that. And I'm going to continue going forward and talking about the need to focus on our local county parties, on our other local organizations in order to grow and build them, because that is how we're going to bring in support for 2026.
I'm not in any way, shape or form taking credit for what you're just saying there about county parties, only to say that I, like you, have been part of a chorus for the past, I don't know how many years, talking about the need for the state Democratic Party in this case. And again, the Republican Party has its own infrastructure debates like this, but that the state party needs to both listen. It works both ways. Listen to the people in those local county parties and also provide them with the resources they need rather than top-down management of the party. And so when you tell me that, you know, you're saying that and that you're hearing that from the other candidates as well, I think that that only bodes well writ large for not just the entire Wisconsin Democratic Party, but for, you know, voters who aren't just in the big Democratic strongholds.
Yeah, and that's what the way that we are going to flip the assembly seats that we need to flip in order to get a majority in 2026, the way that we're going to get the Senate seats and retain the governorship is by decreasing the margin of Republican support in smaller counties and rural areas. This is the path to victory. And that path goes directly through county party organizations. County parties need to be trusted that they know best how to organize in their neighborhood and how to talk to people in their county. We need to start treating county party officials like the experts they are in their neighborhoods. And that is really the basis behind my campaign. I'm the only candidate who has worked as a county party chair. I'm the only candidate who's a CD chair. I'm the only candidate who's coming from this system. And that means I'm really the only chair that knows exactly what the problems are with the kind of top-down DPW organization as it is right now and how to fix them.
Let's talk as well about the development this week. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, who had just received the endorsement from outgoing chair Ben Wickler. Joe Zepecki reacted to it yesterday. So let me ask your reaction as well to Ben Wickler deciding to make an endorsement in this race and doing so for Devin Remicker.
Sure. I was kind of expecting it, to be honest. I think Ben and Devin have worked closely for many, many years, and I think that's great. The problem is that this lack of focus on the county parties is a problem that we've had for many, many years. And so like I said, I really like Devin, but I am the person who's genuinely going to focus on county parties and maintaining and growing them because I have experienced the problems that we're having over the last 6 years. And I'm the one that can really come in and fix them. Ben and Devin should be extraordinarily proud of the growth and the progress and the strength of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I'm proud of it as well. But what needs to be fixed in this current moment is this refocusing on county parties and other local organizations like our caucuses, like our Young Democrat chapters. And I am the person that can maintain everything that Devin and Ben have built while also fixing this one key issue.
It is an important thing about this race that we've all noticed is that obviously there are a lot of good things to say about Ben Wickler's tenure and certainly record, but that it wasn't perfect, that the party is not perfect. So how do you both acknowledge what's good, but also, you know, shine a light on what it is that needs to be changed? Well, go ahead, Willen.
Oh, I was just also going to say, I want to remind everyone that the Wisconsin Democrats are on the forefront in the country in terms of the strength of their party. The Wisconsin Democrats are stronger and more active than just about any Democratic Party in the country. And what that means is that we're often the first to do things. We are the vanguard. We are out in front on everything. And sometimes that means that we make mistakes because we don't have any examples to pull from. And so in this wonderful growth that Ben Wickler and Devin have built, we have left the county parties behind a little bit. And that's the thing that needs to be addressed right now.
I have to ask you about a hypothetical that may not come to be, but is going to be very important for the next chair if it does. And that deals with Governor Tony Evers, who has not made a decision yet on running for a third term. If he does not, the easiest guess to make that I'm about to make here is that much like in 2018, when he first ran, it was him and more than a dozen other Democrats running for governor. If Tony Evers decides not to run for a third term, there will almost certainly again be upwards of a dozen people running. Not the worst problem to have, having a deep bench of talent. But I mean, it's almost a logistical nightmare trying to be fair. There's county chairs who are going to want to endorse somebody, but maybe they shouldn't, either because of county rules or state rules. I mean, let's face it, whether you get elected or not, if you stay active in the party, that is a bit of a minefield that Democrats have to be looking at if the governor decides not to run for re-election.
Well, and honestly, it's a minefield that I've experienced already, because here in the 3rd Congressional District, we have had strong, robust primaries with multiple candidates the last 3 cycles. So we are I am experienced with working on that. My preference is always, and in fact, what I will be arguing and mandating as chair, is that the state party should be providing resources and the infrastructure that helps every one of the candidates who wants to run for governor speak directly to voters without preference towards any one of them. I do not want a party that puts its finger on the scale in terms of trying to decide before the voter gets to decide who's going to be the who's going to win that primary. It's up to the voters. That kind of primary, it motivates our base. It brings out the best vision for the moment. And that's what a lot of primaries are. Primaries are not about which candidate do I, you know, really love or whatever. It's about, because they're all great, it's about who is presenting.
We're talking to William Garcia. He's a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. That decision will be made in Wisconsin Dells the middle of next month at the state Democratic Party convention, where, as the party announced yesterday, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock will be the keynote speaker on the first night of the convention. And I'm sure, William, you agree that that's a pretty good get for a party that is plenty motivated, but wouldn't mind hearing from Senator Warnock as well.
It's a wonderful get. I've been lucky enough to hear Senator Warnock speak in the past. He's an incredible speaker. Makes me a little, excited as well, because that means I'll actually be sharing a stage with Senator Raphael Warnock, because all 3 of the candidates also give small speeches that night in support for their campaigns. So I'll get to present with Senator Warnock.
The big news this week in terms of 2026 politics was that appeals court judge Chris Taylor is getting into the race for a state Supreme Court. We, of course, have to acknowledge that there may be more candidates. It is very early yet. But if this were to be the field with appeals court judge Taylor versus Justice Rebecca Bradley, you know, from the far right end of the Supreme Court bench, that is a, I guess all I'm saying is that would be a competitive race, and that's really what you're looking for, is a competitive race against a well-tenured state Supreme Court justice.
A competitive race against also the most extreme conservative candidate on the bench. That's what we need to be thinking about. This race is not going to be the $100 million race that we had last year, because it is not going to flip the ideological makeup of the Supreme Court like the last 2 Supreme Court elections have done. So it's going to be, and that means that we need to be, again, my plan, focusing on growing and strengthening county parties, because our county party volunteers and our county party officials are going to be vital in getting the message out about Chris Taylor. Because again, the money that poured into Wisconsin the last 2 Supreme Court cycles will not be replicated, because the ideological makeup of the bench is not at stake.
We are talking to William Garcia. He's candidate for state Democratic Party chair. There are 3 candidates in the race, and that decision will be made by delegates at the state Democratic Party convention next month in Wisconsin Dells. And we've been very privileged to be able to go through 2 rounds of interviews with the candidates here so far, and we'll continue to talk about the issues that are important to it. Before we go to break, let me tell you that, again, we have a Brewers tickets giveaway. Text the keyword radio to us via the Civic Media app. There will be 1 entry drawn statewide to win 4 tickets to next Tuesday evening's game against the Boston Red Sox. You can get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us, and we will do this most Fridays throughout the course of the season. We'll pause here. I'm Pat Kreitlow reminding you, that keep that Pledge of Allegiance in mind this weekend. All of it. Liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Contact D&T Well Service for well service and replacement. Mary and Derek McCormick, owners of D&T Well Service, are insured, and they do new installs and fix existing systems, submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Well Service, 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Well Service, 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by US Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local sports coming up on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 during Pat Kreitlow Mornings. I'm Phil Nee. Here's a look at local sports from yesterday. Richland Center won 6-5 over Plantville in the bottom of the seventh last night. The game was played at North Park in Richland Center. The Hornets lost just 2 weeks ago in Plantville by the same score under similar circumstances. Senior Jacob McDonald pitched 6 innings with 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, and he gave up just 2 hits. Freshman Finn Lemke worked the seventh and gave up a hit while walking 1 and striking out 2 to get the victory as he kept the game tied until the Hornets got the winning run. Trenton Mum went the distance and suffered the loss for Plattville. With 2 on base and 1 out in the seventh, Isaac Gauld put the ball in play, and the Hillman threw wildly to second base as Brady Dosh came around to score and made the final 6-5. Dosh scored 3 of the Hornets' 6 runs. Jacob McDonald and Finn Lemke each went 2 for 3 with a double. Richland Center had 7 hits. Jonah Vorwald was on base 3 times and had 1 of Plattville's three hits. With the win, Richland Center is now 8-12 and 4-5 in the league. They will host Dodgeville Tuesday night to wrap up the regular season and then travel to Lodi to open the WIAA tournament on Thursday. The loss knocked Platteville out of first place in a tie with Dodgeville. They are now 6-3 in the league and 10-9 overall. They have a game against Edgewood Saturday and will wrap up the league against Lancaster on Tuesday. Lancaster was a winner over River Valley last night, 6-2, and Dodgeville stayed on top in the league, improving to 7-2 with a 2-1 victory over Prairie du Chien. DeSoto knocked Weston out of conference contention last night with an 11-0 victory. The win by DeSoto means Seneca will win the Ridge and Valley Conference Baseball Championship this year. Riverdale held on to defeat Darlington by the score of 14-12 last night. Ethan Cagle was 3-for-3 with 4 RBI, while Henry Drone would go 2-for-3 with 3 RBI. Chase Chitwood would hit a 2-run home run, while Eli Campbell would collect 2 hits for the Chieftains. In baseball action elsewhere, River Ridge 5-2 over Belmont. It was Iowa Grant beating North Crawford 6-4. Wuniwuk Center 2-1 over Nisita. Boscobel 4, Fenimore 3, Lafarge 7-3 over Kickapoo, Reedsburg 7, McFarland 2. WIAA softball tournament action last night. The Weston girls saw their softball season come to an end in the regional as the Wildcats of Lafarge came back for a 10-6 win over the Eagles. Weston had the lead from the beginning, took the first inning lead, scoring 2 runs on 3 walks and an RBI by Valerie Bauer. Later, Haley McGlynn held with a 2-run single, giving Weston the lead. The Eagles took the lead back in the 5th in the seesaw battle, Lafarge eventually scoring the win as they picked up some runs in the bottom of the 6th inning to make it a final of 10-6. Lafarge moves on and will face Ithaca, which had a first-round bye. Wuniwuk Center 12-0 over North Crawford in 5 innings. Pecatonica 8-7 over Southwestern in 11 innings. Potosi Cassville 8, Benton Scholesburg 4. Division 4, Riverdale 15-0 over Boscobel. The Chieftains advance in the tournament to play Mineral Point. It was Darlington 5, Parkview 3. Westby got the win against River Valley last night, 10-9 in 8 innings, ending River Valley's year. Also, it was Lacrosse Logan over Sauk Prairie, 8-4 in Division 2. In high school soccer, Richland Center traveled to Dodgeville to battle Dodge Point, and the conference matchup saw Dodge Point win 5-0. Hornet players playing a solid game overall, according to coach Shawnee Fink. With 2 more regular season games left, the Hornets are looking for more improvement as the season winds down. Key players to this solid performance was keeper Lily Tidrick with 14 saves, speedy defenders Sylvia Schmidt and Harper Glassbrenner, and solid midfield play by freshman Rowan May, who is back after facing some injuries. Next up are 2 conference matches, Tuesday and Thursday at 5, to round out the regular season. River Valley tied Prairie du Chien, River Ridge, Seneca 1-1 last night in soccer, and Reedsburg 9-1 over Portage Poinette. The River Valley boys golf team won the Southwest Conference meet, played at Galena yesterday by 17 strokes. River Valley shot a 335 to get the job done. Conference track meet, Southwest Conference at Dodgeville last night. Richland Center boys finished 5th. The Richland Center girls were 4th. Some highlights in the girls 4x8. It was Grace Fretz, Pearl Fretz, Addie Lawless, and Rachel Waterfall finishing 2nd as a unit. The Richland Center boys 4x8 with a 5th place finish. Harrison Carpenter, Henry Clancy, Henry Martin, and Andrew Melby. And the girls 100 meter, Charlie Bailey was 5th. For the boys, Aiden Hill of River Valley 3rd and Wesley Hatfield 5th. The girls 100 meter hurdles, Danica Pauls, Richland Center 4th, Brooklyn White, River Valley 5th. In the 200, Charlie Bailey, Richland Center 2nd, Gina Klein of River Valley was 4th. In the 200 meter boys dash, Aiden Hill, River Valley 2nd, Wesley Hatfield finished 5th. Some of the other events from yesterday, it was Brielle Grant of River Valley finishing 4th in the 1600. The boys 1600, Richland Center's Ryan Stadler was 4th. In the boys, 4-2, Richland Center, a first place, and they continue to impress with a 131-51. Robert Budden, Fletcher Harper, Mason Jelenic, and Kevin Hernandez finished just ahead of River Valley, which was second. Wesley Hatfield, Spencer Sackett, Lucas Klein, and Aiden Hill. Molly Moss of River Valley was third in the 400. Also, Richland Center's 4x1 relay team was fourth. Lacey Allball, Riley Banker, Pippa Ewing, and Soleil Ewing ran that for the Hornets. In the 800-meter run, Robert Budden, Richland Center, first place, 202.15, and is a conference champion. Brielle Grant, River Valley, third in the 3,200. Pearl Fretz, Richland Center, was fourth. The boys, 3,200. Ryan Stadler, Richland Center, third. In the girls' 4x4-meter relay team, Richland Center finishing third. Lacey Allball, Charlie Bailey, Riley Banker, and Grace Fretz. The boys, 4x4, Richland Center, first place, 3,28.99. Grayson Banker, Robert Budden, Fletcher Harper, and Kevin Hernandez. Danica Pauls, a 9-6 in the pole vault, second in the conference. Devin Woodhouse, Richland Center, third in pole vault with 12 feet, his top. Also in the long jump, Soleil Ewing, Richland Center, a conference champion. And also Pippa Ewing was fifth. Reagan Sackett, River Valley, was fifth in the triple jump. Madeline Huber, a conference champion in the discus throw and in the shot put, leading Richland Center. Also, Grady Graham of River Valley was third in the boys' discus throw, and Grace Fretz, Richland Center, third in the 800-meter run. Among the highlights and events yesterday at Dodgeville, that's a local sports update during Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE. I'm Phil Nee.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now threatening the European Union with a 50% tax on all imports and a 25% tariff on Apple products. The EU taxes because the president's not been able to reach a deal with European officials on trade, and the Apple taxes because he says he wants iPhones only made in this country. U.S. futures and global markets all sinking following the social media posts. President Trump headlining a big gala last night for investors in his cryptocurrency.
The guest list shrouded in secrecy. Among those spotted arriving at the event, retired NBA player Lamar Odom and Chinese billionaire and cryptocurrency mogul Justin Sun, who previously avoided entering the U.S. and was under investigation by the SEC and DOJ for securities fraud. After President Trump took office, the SEC probe was dropped, and he now claims to be the largest holder of the Trump coin.
ABC's Rachel Scott, first-degree murder charges filed against the man accused in the shooting of a couple outside the Capitol Jewish Museum this week. This is ABC News.